Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to come and to study the word tonight. Lord, as we simply read the Bible and take it for what it says, allow your spirit to be present, that he may teach us, guide us, that he may open our minds and give us understanding tonight. Please bless us, Lord, to this end. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight's presentation is entitled, A Day to Remember, A Day to Remember. Every single one of us have important days that we remember, is that not so? Some are more important than others. For an example, who considers your birthday, your own personal birthday, important? Raise your hand. You think, my birthday's important, yeah? Okay, a few of us, awesome. For me, my birthday, it's just another day. I actually forget my birthday from time to time. I remember one day I was at home working. I was working near my home. And as I was doing some work, my mom called me and asked me and said, are you coming home soon? I said, no, I'm going to do some extra work today, you know, get some extra things done here. She says, oh, but you should come home for dinner. I said, oh, it's okay. Just save me a plate. I'll eat it later. It's not important at all. And she said, do you know what today is? And I thought long and hard. I said, well, it's almost Thanksgiving. No, what's today? Wednesday? And she says, it's your birthday. And I was like, really? I was like, no, I actually didn't believe her. I was like, it's not my birthday. I was like, if anyone knew when their birthday was, the person should know their own birthday. I looked at the calendar and realized, lo and behold, it was my birthday. So I raced home as quick as I could to eat dinner. And you know, that day for me, my own personal birthday, just wasn't the most important day. It wasn't the most significant day. And there are other days, though, that are very, very, very important to us. Like every month on the 24th, that's what I call my month anniversary since I've been dating Monica. And for me, that's a very important day to remember. And so we have days that are more important to remember than others. And what we learn from the Bible is God has a day for us to remember. A day for us to keep in mind, as it were, a type of anniversary. And it's grounded in the book of Revelation. It's grounded in the first angel's message itself. Notice what the Bible says. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And we've already studied what it means to fear God. It's to have an experience with Jesus at the cross. We've already studied what it means to give him glory, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we behold Jesus upon the cross. And we talked about the judgment hour message and saw that we actually at this time live in the hour of God's judgment. But the first angel's message has another element to it. It says, and do what? Worship him. Here, the first angel's message is calling us to a special type of worship. The Bible here, and in fact, in the book of Revelation, and we're going to study chapter 13 next week. You're not going to want to miss next week when we study Revelation 13, the unmistakable identity of the Antichrist. That one you're not going to want to miss. But when you study Revelation 13 and 14, what you notice, it has one key issue. One key word that's repeated over and over and over again, and that word is worship. Will you worship the beast, or will you worship the true God? Who will you worship tonight? So the Bible says, worship him, speaking of God, and then it describes who you're supposed to worship. Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. In other words here, the Bible in the book of Revelation, the first angel's message, says we are to worship him who is the creator. Worship him who's the creator, the maker, the one who made everything. This is what the Bible is asking us to do. Now, if you remember, we talked about the significance of the Old Testament, how much of the New Testament, and specifically much of the book of Revelation, is found and grounded in the Old Testament. There are keys to understand the book of Revelation, particularly in the books of Daniel, Ezekiel, and other Old Testament passages that interpret the symbols of Revelation for us. And this is what we call letting the Bible interpret itself. Amen? Letting the Bible explain itself. Just letting the Bible tell us what the Bible is trying to tell us. And so in order to understand what does the Bible mean by worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of water, we need to find that passage in the Old Testament. And as I search the Old Testament, I find it in one verse in the Old Testament. It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. For in 6 days, the Lord, and what did the Lord do? He made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. You see here an allusion, a quote from the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. In the Revelation, worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Here it says that the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. So here we see in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, a quote that's used later on in the book of Revelation, and it's founded right here in this passage. Now, what is significant about Exodus 20, verse 11? It goes on to say, and rested the seventh day, therefore the Lord blessed which day? The Sabbath, and hallowed it. That means made it holy. So here in the Bible we see that the verse that Revelation is drawing from when it says worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water, it's actually quoting from the fourth commandment out of the Ten Commandments. It's quoting from the fourth commandment, which is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So what significance does this have? What does this mean? What is Revelation calling us? That's what tonight's presentation is going to be about. So we're going to study about this day. What's so special? What's so significant about this day? And its correlation with how we worship God. We have to go back to the beginning, to Genesis 1 verse 1 to get the answer. In Genesis 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the rest of Genesis chapter 1 explains the creation accounts. On the first day, God separated the light from the darkness. On the second day, the firmament from the waters. And the third day, the dry land and the plants. And the fourth day, he put the sun, the moon, and the stars in their proper place. And the fifth day, he filled the water in the air with life. And on the sixth day, animal life and humans were made. Read Genesis 1. You can read the entire account. And in 6 literal days, God created everything that we behold on this earth. In 6 literal days, he made these things. But then something special happened. At the end of all of this, God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we see here in Genesis chapter 1, it ends with verse 31. This is the last verse of the chapter. It says that God looked at all that he had made in those 6 literal days, and he said, everything I made is very good. Who here loves the satisfaction of a job well done? I love the satisfaction of a job well done. That's why I actually love good old manual labor, when you're out there sweating, working hard, and when you're done and you just look at whatever it is you're doing and you have the satisfaction of a job well done. See, God had that experience as he beheld everything that he had made, and he said, it is very good. But you see, the Bible account doesn't end there. It actually goes into chapter 2 as we continue to study the scriptures tonight, and it tells us what happened on the day after everything was made. You see, the Bible says, after God had finished creating everything in the 6 days, the Bible says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he did what? Rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. So here we see in Genesis chapter 2, after God had created everything in 6 literal days, that we see that God did something. He looked and said, everything I had made is very good, and he did what every person does after they have had a job well done. The Bible says, and he rested. Not that I believe that he was tired, but I believe he did it for a special reason, and we'll come back to that. That he rested from all of his work. There are four key things I want us to notice here. Number one, what day of the week was it? The seventh day. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. And notice, he didn't just rest on this day. Then God did what to the seventh day? He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. To sanctify means to set apart for a holy purpose, to make it holy. So we see God viewed this day of rest as a very special day, didn't he? So these are the four key things that we want to see about the seventh day, the four key elements. God blessed it, God sanctified it, God rested on it, and it was the seventh day of the week. These are the four key things that we want to notice in the creation story, in the Genesis story, the Genesis accounts of creation. Now we go back to Exodus chapter 20 to compare. In Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11, we have the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. What does that sound like? Creation, right? Because God did all of his work in how many days? 6 days. And it says, in 6 days you will labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do how much work? No work. In other words, you are to rest. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. And we're going to come back to that stranger within our gates. Why? What is the reason for remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy? What is the reason for laboring in 6 days and resting upon the seventh day? For in 6 days, or because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. It's almost like the Bible saying, if God can get his work done in 6 days, you can get your work done in 6 days. Amen? Because God did it in 6 days. He made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And he did what? Rested. Which day? The seventh day. Therefore, the Lord had blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or sanctified it, or made it holy. And so we see here these key words again being brought up, just as they were in the story of Genesis itself. The seventh day is a blessed day. It's a holy day. It's been sanctified. And it's a day in which God himself had rested. Now, I know what someone's thinking tonight. As you're hearing this presentation, you're seeing, okay, I see in Revelation 14, we're to worship God as the creator. And that's a direct quote from the Sabbath commandment to honor him and to worship the Sabbath, worship him on the Sabbath day. But wasn't the Sabbath only for the Jewish people? This is a question that came to my mind a long time ago as I was studying the scriptures, and I talked with many ministers, and they posed the thought that, well, the Sabbath was for who? The Jewish people only. You see, because God gave the Ten Commandments to who? A man named Moses in Mount Sinai. And Moses was an Israelite, was he not? He was a Jew. And so as we look to this account of him receiving the law, it would appear as though God was giving directly to the Jewish people the Ten Commandments, which would include the seventh day Sabbath. However, there's a story that takes place. You see, the Ten Commandments were in Exodus chapter 20. I want to draw your minds back to Exodus chapter 16, four chapters before Mount Sinai. And notice here what the Bible says in this passage, this unique passage. And before we read it, let me give you the context. You can read the whole chapter on your own to double check me. The Israelites are wandering now in the wilderness. They follow the Lord out of Egypt, and now they're in the wilderness. And that's a whole experience in and of itself, watching these people try to survive the wilderness. And they have God with them, but they just keep doubting and complaining every step of the way. Sometimes we shake our head at them, but if we really search our own hearts, we might find a little bit of that in ourselves, won't we? And they realize they're hungry, they're in the wilderness, and they need what? Food. And so God did something special in Exodus chapter 16. He gave them what the psalmist David says in the book of Psalms, angels' food. He rained down manna, bread, from heaven. And we're going to read about that story. Speaking of the bread that fell onto the ground, the manna that fell from heaven, the Bible says, 6 days you shall gather it. Notice, but on which day? The seventh day, and then it clarifies what day. The seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be how much bread? There will be none. There will be no bread. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Notice what the Lord says. And the Lord said to Moses, don't miss this. How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws 4 chapters before Mount Sinai even occurred? To me, that's a very significant passage of Scripture to see and to understand, because it helps me to see that the law of God did not originate at Mount Sinai, but like we studied last night, the law of God even existed way back in heaven itself when Lucifer rebelled and sinned in heaven. Did it not? We saw that, yes. And so therefore, the Sabbath commandment did not originate at Mount Sinai for the Jews, but it existed prior to that, because the commandments are summarized in one word. And what was that word again? Love. It's a law of love. And God's law of love has always existed from eternity past to eternity forward. The Bible goes on to say, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. You see, God made provision for them. He said on the sixth day, gather double, because there won't be none on the seventh day. Why? Because you're supposed to rest. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And so we see here, when we look at the question, was the law given to the Jewish people alone? Was the Sabbath given to the Jews at Mount Sinai? Was it originated there for the Israelites alone? The Bible's answer is no. See, God didn't just bless one people group with a day of rest, amen? He didn't say, this one group gets the rest, but all y'all better work 7 days out of the week. You see, God loves all of us, amen? God cares about all of our well-being, and he says, I'm going to give all of you a day of rest. You see, it did not originate in Mount Sinai with the giving of the law, but we see the Sabbath going all the way back to the Garden of Eden with the father and mother of our race, Adam and Eve. So it was not given to the Jews, but instead, as Jesus said in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for who? For man, for mankind. You see, the Sabbath wasn't made for one particular people group, but it was in fact made for all of mankind. And that's a beautiful thing to see tonight. Now, the Bible teaches a principle that I think is worthy of noting. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So if we wanted to live our lives the way God would want them to live, what is the example that we should look to? Or who is the example that we should look to? Yeah, we should look to Jesus, amen? You can do what you want to do, but I'm going to follow the Lord and do what he did, amen? So the Bible tells us here in 1 Peter 2:21 that we should look to Jesus as an example and follow in his footsteps. How did Jesus relate to the Sabbath? Did Jesus himself keep the Sabbath day holy? That's our question. He's our example. We want to be like Jesus tonight. Luke 4:16, the Bible says, so he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his key word, what's that word there? Custom was, he went into the synagogue. That's another word for church. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Question. What day did Jesus go to church to study the Bible and to worship? It was on the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to notice this. It wasn't just something that he did randomly, but in fact, it was his custom, which means it was something that he always did. It was just the way he lived his life. You see, Jesus kept the Sabbath. And if we want to follow in his footsteps, we should examine and study his life and follow in those footsteps. In fact, he said in Matthew 24:20, speaking of the future, speaking of a time when the Israel would be destroyed, the temple would be destroyed, Rome under the general Titus would come and conquer the Jewish nation. Jesus said, pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. You see, even Jesus in prophetic language, speaking of the future, was talking about the Sabbath. So we see here that Jesus not only kept it, but he taught that it would be kept in the future. Now, someone once asked me, they said, well, Anthony, that's good and all, but let me ask you a question. Is Jesus an Israelite? Yes or no? Was Jesus an Israelite? Yes, he was. Was he a Jew? He was. So did other people after the cross keep the Sabbath? Some people say that after the cross that the commandments were done away with all of a sudden, that we don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore since the cross. So I pose a question. Did the apostles, those who believed and followed Jesus, who lived with Jesus and learned from Jesus and saw Jesus in vision and went and planted the churches around the then known world, did they keep the Sabbath? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Luke 23, verse 56. Then they, speaking of the followers of Jesus, the women who followed Jesus, then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, notice, and they did what? Rested on the Sabbath according to the commandments. Now here it's interesting because if anyone knew that a change was going to take place, it would be those who were closest to who? Those who were closest to Jesus. And here, after the death of Jesus upon the cross, they still rested on the seventh day, on the Sabbath. Acts 13, verse 14 says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. This is speaking of Paul and one of his companions, that Paul would go to church on what day of the week? On the Sabbath day. And that's when he would go to the synagogue and to study the word of God and to share the word of God. In the same chapter it says, so when the Jews, notice, went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, to me, this passage is so interesting because who left the church? The Jewish people. So here in this church in Pisidia where they're at, Paul's there, and there's two groups of people in the same church. There are Jews and there are Gentiles. Jews are people who are Israelites by ethnicity, by descendancy, and Gentiles is everyone else who's not an Israelite by definition. So the Jewish people and the Gentiles, they're all there. And some people said, well, Paul obviously went there to reach the Jews. That's why he went to church on Sabbath still. But notice, the Jews left the church, the synagogue, and who was left? The Gentiles. So now it's just a church full of who? Church full of Gentiles. And these Gentiles actually begged Paul that he might preach these words again when? On the next Sabbath. Now, that would have been prime time for Paul to say to the Gentiles, non-Jewish people who have no necessary affinity for a specific day, guys, there's a new day. There's a new time. And there's a new Sabbath. But he didn't. In fact, the Bible says on the next what? Sabbath. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. So you see, even Paul here, the disciples of Jesus, did they keep the Sabbath? Yes or no? They did. Did they teach others to keep the Sabbath? Yes or no? They did. And they even allowed who to keep the Sabbath? The Gentiles. Showing that the Sabbath was not done away with. On the contrary, it was still kept. Not only by the apostles, but even by the Gentiles themselves. So let's answer this next question. Which day is the seventh day? I know that this was something that I asked. Like, well, what day is the seventh day? I mean, I don't know. Like, what day is the first day? Who says what day is what day, right? Is that a fair question to ask? I think that's a fair question to ask. So which day is the seventh day? There are many ways I can answer this question, but I'm going to try to give you a biblical answer. Amen? Even though the Bible typically refers to days numerically, first day, seventh day, and even in the feast refers to the eighth day, which is a week and a day. So is there, but there are passages, I believe, that enlighten us to help us to know which day is the seventh day. Luke 23, verse 54 to 56. Looking to the death of Jesus, I believe there are clues and indicators to help us to know what day is the seventh day. And again, there are many ways to do this, but I try to do everything with Bible passages that I can. And that day, speaking of the day that Jesus died, was what day? The preparation day. You see, the day before the Sabbath, the Jews called the preparation day. Why? Well, because you prepared for the Sabbath because you wouldn't do any work, and therefore it would be wise to prepare. Like in the Old Testament, if you didn't have bread ready for Sabbath, it was now a day of fasting, amen? And so, and the Sabbath was made for joy and fellowship, not for sackcloth and ashes, amen? And so, it was preparation day. And the Sabbath drew on, the Bible says. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the tomb, the sepulcher, which means the tomb, where his body had been laid. So I want you to see the progression of days here. You have the preparation day, and then you have which day? The Sabbath day. Now, Jesus died on which day? The preparation day. And the Sabbath drew on, which means the Sabbath was about to begin. Very good. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. So Jesus died on the preparation day. His body was taken and laid in the tomb. He was in the tomb on which day then? The Sabbath day. It's kind of interesting. Even in his death, Jesus kept the Sabbath, didn't he? Because he was doing what? He was resting on the Sabbath still. And the very next day, according to Luke 24, verse 1, now upon which day of the week? The first day of the week. Very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So here we see they came on the first day, and what did they find? Jesus had resurrected. Jesus had risen from the grave. And if there's anything to get to celebrate and to get excited about, is that we serve a risen Savior. Amen. That Jesus, though he died on the cross of Calvary, though he bore our sins up that cross and died the death that we deserve and was laid in that grave, death could not hold him, but he conquered the grave so that he can give us the victory over the grave that we might see him face to face one day. Amen. So you can't help but start preaching about the gospel when you bring up Jesus, can you? You have to mention the gospel and how precious Jesus is and all that he's done for us. And so on the first day of the week, they go to the tomb and Jesus is gone. Now, there is a holiday that was put in place or on the place of this day to kind of commemorate it and to kind of point to it and to kind of remind us of it. And what holiday was that holiday? Yeah, Easter was put on the day of the Lord's resurrection. We know this from history way back when, right? Think about it. Easter always happens on what day of the year? Sunday. Which would be what's day according to the Bible? The first day. Now, look at your calendars. The Friday before Easter Sunday is called Good. Why is it called Good Friday? It's the day that what happened? Jesus died. See, we've known this information. This is not new information. We've known this for a long time. This is something that we've already known and understood, but we've never put the dots together. You see, in 108 of the world's languages, the actual word for seventh day is Sabbath. Not just in the Jewish language, Hebrew, but even in Espanol. ¿Cómo se dice Saturday in Espanol? Sábado, which is simply mean, directly translated, Sabbath. So here we see, in the language of languages of the world itself, it reminds us that the seventh day is the Sabbath day. It always has been. You look at your calendars. Which day is the seventh day on your calendar? It's actually Saturday. It goes from Sunday until Saturday. And what you notice from the Bible, from history, from languages around the world, from the calendars, no matter how you spin it, no matter how you look at it, the seventh day always has been Saturday. And it's almost new to the mind, though old information. It's almost as if the mind says, like my mind said, I never thought of it like that. It's not new data, but it's a different conclusion of the data that's already existed. And so we see that which day is the seventh day? It's actually what we call in English, Saturday. What about the Lord's Day of the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation talks about the Lord's Day. And many church fathers in history spoke of the Lord's Day in reference to a type of Sabbath. And many of them believed it to be speaking of the Sunday in Revelation 1 verse 10, where this Bible verse comes from. Here's the Bible verse. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. You see, the book of Revelation, the prophecies of the book of Revelation, were given to John on which day? The Lord's Day. And some have used this verse to try to demonstrate that God had changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Now, when we study the Bible, remember, we need to take the Bible just for what it says. Amen. Take the Bible for how it reads. And here, what does the Bible say? Does it speak of a change of Sabbath taking place? No, it simply says that the book of Revelation was received on which day? The Lord's Day. So if you want to know what the Lord's Day is, how do you figure that out? You study the Bible. Have you noticed a trend in these seminars? We point everything back to the what? To the Bible, the Word of God. You see, you never want to live by the opinions of man. Jeremiah warns us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man." But in verse 7, it says, "Blessed is he who trusteth in the Lord." We need to learn to trust in the Word of the Lord tonight. So what is the Lord's Day? The Bible, I believe, gives us the answers. In the Gospels, it gives us clues. In Matthew 12, verse 8, which day is the Lord's Day? It's possessive. It's his day. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the specifically indicated and pointed it out. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. In Luke 6, 5, the Son of Man is Lord also of the... So here, and we know the Lord is Lord of all. Amen? And we know that the Bible makes that clear, abundantly clear, but here it ties a specific day to him, and which day does it tie to him? The Sabbath. Even in Exodus 20, verse 10, notice, it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of who? The Lord your God. In other words, it belongs to who? The Lord. It's given as a gift to mankind, but it's the Lord's day. It's his special day. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 58, verse 13. You thought you weren't going to have to turn your Bibles tonight, huh? Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, page 930 in your seminar Bibles. Every night you're going to turn your Bibles at least once. We got to practice, amen? We got to practice opening and turning our Bibles. Still asking the question, what day is the Lord's day? Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. On page 930. And remember, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible called it the Lord's Day. Possessive. It was his. Something that belonged to him. Keep that in mind as we read this verse in Isaiah 58, verse 13. Because the Lord says that a specific day is his day. Which is exactly what Revelation 1:10 is saying. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. The Bible says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath day, from doing your pleasure on what? My holy day. And call the Sabbath of the light the holy day, what? Of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Here the Bible calls the Sabbath, God says of the Sabbath that it's my what? Holy day. In other words, he's saying this day belongs to who? Belongs to me. So Revelation 1 verse 10 says that the book of Revelation, the vision of Revelation, was given to John on which day? The Lord's day. And if you use the Bible alone to interpret that, and not the writings and the sayings of men and church fathers, but just the word of God alone, that day is none other than the Sabbath day of the Lord our God. The seventh day, Sabbath day. Why is this day so special, though? It seems like the Bible has a lot to say about it, doesn't it? Kind of just like beats you over the head with it over and over again. I mean, we know it's in the Ten Commandments. So yes, obviously it's part of God's law, which means it's a key to experiencing true biblical love. Amen? But why is this so special according to the scriptures? What is so important about this day? The Bible says something interesting in Ezekiel chapter 20 that I think is worthy of taking note of in regard to the uniqueness of this day and what it represents. You see, it's not just so much about a day, though the day is important since God called it by name, but it's what it represents, the heart issue that really matters. The Bible says, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a what? Sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who does what? Sanctifies them." Now remember this, keep this in mind. The Sabbath day in the beginning, the Lord sanctified it, right? And here the Bible says that we keep the Sabbath day as a sign that it is the Lord who does what to us? Sanctifies us. In other words, to sanctify, to make holy, remember? To set us apart for a holy purpose. Now you may be thinking, how does that work? Let me illustrate it as I understand best based on what you've known from the presentations that we've had so far. On the Sabbath day, according to the Bible, what are you supposed to do? Work or rest? Rest. So you cease from all your own works. Now remember when we talked about salvation, can we be saved by our works? Can we earn our way to heaven? No. We need to cease from our own works and learn to trust in whose works? In Christ's works. In Christ's life, live out through us. You see, this is why the Sabbath is so important, because it gets to the heart of the issue that we always feel like we need to work for things. And it tells us to cease and to rest in Jesus, to cease from our own works and to trust in Him. Question, is it a step of faith to stop working on a day? That's a step of faith. Because if you don't work, you don't get what? You don't get paid. And if you don't get paid, that means you have less money to pay the bills. Oh Lord, have mercy. How are we going to make it this month? How is that possible? Where's your faith? Where's your trust? That's what I love about the Sabbath day. It's a sign that you're choosing to trust in who? In the works of God and not in the works of yourself. It goes on to say in the same chapter, "Hallow my Sabbaths." Make my Sabbaths holy, in other words. "And they will be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord," what? "Your God." You see, in the Old Testament, all of the false religions of the world love to worship one object in the sky. Does anyone know what that object is? The sun. Read Ezekiel chapter 8, the last 5 verses, and you'll see that plain in Scripture. That many of the false religions, they love to actually worship the object of the sun. And really, you can't blame them. If you didn't know any better, the sun looks pretty epic, doesn't it? I mean, it looks pretty powerful. And if you knew nothing about how the solar system worked, the fact that it pops up and disappears and pops up again, I mean, it would intrigue the human mind, would it not? So I don't blame them. I don't mock them at all. They just didn't understand the scriptures. And those who did, those Israelites who still worship the sun, shame on them. They knew better. But they loved to worship the sun. And so God put a specific day, a special day that separated those who followed the Jehovah, the true God of the Old Testament, from those who worship the sun. And that's why this day, he said, was a sign that when people see you keep my Sabbath, they know which God you serve. They know which God you worship. They knew who you followed. It was a sign, it was an outward representation that I am the Lord your God. And this is why it was so significant. This is why it was so important, because it separated God's people, the true followers of the true God, the creator God, from all the idols that had no power to create. So when does this day begin? We know it's what day of the week? The seventh day, which is Saturday, which would be when? Tomorrow, right? So tomorrow would be the Sabbath. So when does it begin? You know, there were some people who studied this out in a time about 100 years ago, and they thought, well, maybe it's from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. That sounds about right. It's a 24-hour period. And someone said, well, maybe it's from midnight to midnight. I mean, that makes logical sense, doesn't it? Because if it's the seventh day, it should begin at what time? At midnight. So there's a lot of different ideas out there about when the Sabbath day would begin, but we don't just want opinions from men tonight, do we? The Bible actually gives us the answer. It actually tells us when it actually begins so that we can be ready for God's holy day. See, God doesn't leave us in the dark. The Bible says in Leviticus 23, verse 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. From evening until evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So, when does the Sabbath begin? Friday evening when the sun sets. And when does it end? Saturday evening when the sun sets. From evening to evening. Now, this is not a new thought in Scripture. You see, if you read Genesis 1 carefully, the creation account, the days are kind of constructed differently than we naturally think. Notice what the Bible says. In the first day of creation, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Notice the progression. And the what? Evening and the morning were the first day. So in the Bible, how does it define and describe a day? It starts with the evening and ends with the morning, which makes perfect sense when you read Leviticus 23:32, that the Sabbath is from evening until evening. Why? Because the second day, God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So the first day, you had the evening, and then you had the sunrise, but when the sun set and it became evening again, that was now the beginning of which day? The second day. So the Genesis account actually teaches us how the Bible describes days, and it does it. The third day, the evening and the morning were the third day. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So when does the Sabbath begin? Friday at sunset, and it ends Saturday at sunset. A biblical day, as it were, from evening until evening. Isn't it beautiful that God makes it so plain? That he doesn't have to leave us in darkness to question and to wonder, how do we do that which he wants us to do? But it's written plainly in black and white in the Scriptures. So how do I keep this day holy? How do I keep it holy? We can have a whole presentation on this. You need to study the Bible more deeply for yourselves, amen? And follow conviction. Follow what? Conviction. That's a beautiful thing about being a Christian. We have personal convictions, amen? Follow your personal convictions. But there are principles in the Word of God we should take note of. It says here, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. So the secularist affairs of life, the things, the jobs we do to earn an income, we should not do on the Sabbath day. It defiles, it dishonors, and it breaks God's law when we do that. And then it says, you, your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. I love this. When I first became a Christian, I told my dad, I said, I'm sorry, Dad, it's Sabbath, I can't mow the lawn. And it says your son can't do. It says your son can't work. I'm your son. I'm not supposed to work, Dad. And he's like, I said, look, even the dogs aren't supposed to work. The cattle aren't supposed to work. So even the dogs aren't supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And my dad just laughed it off and said something else. We won't go into the details. But the Bible here, I loved it because it said that on the Sabbath day, who gets the rest? Everyone. Notice, even the stranger within your gates, and I want to point this out. You know, there are many people who, and again, the Sabbath may be new to you tonight. I'm not speaking to you, amen? You're learning, you're studying the Bible. This may be new to you, but maybe if you've heard this presentation before somewhere, and maybe you've heard about the Sabbath before, I want you to notice that the strangers within your gates, you're supposed to protect as well. which means you can't say, well, I'm going to rest and not work, but I'm going to go out to eat and make a waiter work for me. Amen. Because that's making the stranger within your gates what? Break the Sabbath day. See, we're supposed to make preparation so that we don't have to work ourselves, but also not to make other people work for us. You see, a lot of Jews used to do this in the Old Testament. Even today, actually, if you go to Jerusalem today, and they take it way beyond the biblical scope. I will say that we need to study the Bible. Jesus really added a beautiful balance to how to keep the Sabbath day holy. You really need to study. Maybe Matthew 12 is a good place to start. But they believe that pushing the button in the elevator is work, and so you can't do it. And so they'll wait for a Gentile to come to the elevator to push the button for them. But I want you to understand that it doesn't work like that. We don't just cease from our labors and make other people work on our behalf. On the contrary, we have a biblical requirement to protect strangers within our gates. No, you don't have to do that, because it's what day? It's the Sabbath day. Nehemiah 13, verse 15 to verse 21. Write it in your notes. Write this in your notes. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go into it. It brings a biblical example of the strangers within your gates. There's actually merchants who come to sell in Jerusalem, and they get told to leave, that it's the Sabbath of the Lord, and no exchange can take place until the Sabbath was over. It shows the beauty of protecting the stranger within your gates, that when people come to sell merchandise and to sell things upon the Sabbath day, they're told, no, don't do that. It's a day of no work. Come back when the sun sets. We'll be glad to do business with you then. He says it in a little bit stronger language than that, actually much stronger language than that. But you can read the passage on your own. It's a powerful passage that really brings to light the importance of the strangers within our gates. Isaiah 58:13 gives us another principle on how to keep the Sabbath. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing whose pleasure? Thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. It's very interesting that keeping the Sabbath is not just outward actions, it even goes to the inward heart, doesn't it? Like all of God's laws, like the adultery. It's not just about committing adultery on the outside that's a sin, but the Bible says that if you lust in your heart after a woman, you've already committed adultery within your hearts. So it goes to the heart issue. And this is a principle. We should choose to seek all of God's ways and none of our own ways on the Sabbath day. Now again, does this mean that you do nothing and sit like a little potato in a room all day? Of course not. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, it is good to do good on the Sabbath day. It's a day to spend time with your families, amen? In a world that pulls us away from our families, it's a special day to spend time to minister to your families and to go out in nature. Well, maybe Mount Charleston's only nature. To go to Mount Charleston and to enjoy the creation that God has made. Because remember, on the Sabbath day is to worship God as the who? Creator. It reminds us that he created the heavens and the earth. So if we let a Sabbath day pass by and don't do any work, but we forget to think about God as creator, we have failed in the experience of the Sabbath. There is power in dwelling upon the fact that God, when he speaks, it happens. He is the creator. It's good to do good. It's good to help. It's good to feed the homeless. It's good to help people in need. It's good to do good on the Sabbath day. And again, like I said, you have to pray and study. If you would like another document, there's some material you're going to get on your way out tonight, what the Bible says about keeping the Sabbath. And hopefully that will bless and guide you. But I want you to know, like all of God's law, remember we talked about God's law last night? Many people think the law of God is restrictive to take away our fun and our joy. But we learned last night that Satan's lie and deception, amen? The law isn't there to constrict us and to confine us and to say, you can't do anything, therefore Sabbath just became a horrible day. No, but that law sets you what? Free. And that's the beauty of the Sabbath. It's going to increase a faith and a trust in God that up until that day, maybe you've never experienced. Lord, this is your day, not my day. It's not my day for laundry. It's not my day for yard work. It's not my day to earn a paycheck. It's my day to worship my God alone. It's my day to raise my children in a very special way. Kids, we're going to spend a whole day getting to know God and blessing other people in our community. It's a day, family, that we're going to actually do some beautiful Bible study together. It's a day to keep holy unto the Lord. This is how we keep the Sabbath. Will the Sabbath be kept in the future to come? Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. Notice what it says as we talk about the new earth. The earth made new after the second coming. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, and it shall come to pass that from one noon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. You see, in the new earth to come, the new earth, and you can read Isaiah 65 and 66, it's describing the new earth when the lions lay with the lambs, amen? When this world is restored back to how God intended it to be, with no sin and no sickness, no pain, no suffering, no evil, no death. And in that context of the new earth to come, it says from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to do what? To worship me. You see, it's not just something that was kept in the past. It's not just something that God calls us to keep in the present, but it's something that God says in the future, in the new earth to come, for the ceaseless ages of all eternity, from one Sabbath to the next, all flesh will still come to worship me, the creator of all things. Amen. So what do we learn tonight? If I can break it down into 10 simple points. The Sabbath was given to man at creation when they were created. It was kept before the Mount Sinai experience. It was given again at Mount Sinai. It was repeated. And I want you to notice the terminology when the Sabbath was given. What was the first word of the fourth commandment? Remember. Remember the Sabbath day. Why would someone tell you to remember something? It's because you most likely have what? Forgotten it. Or you're most likely to forget. It's as if God knew the experience of man that Satan would hide this day from us. It was kept by Jesus, honored by the disciple. It is the Lord's day of the book of Revelation. It was kept by the apostles, kept by the Gentiles. It is a sign that the Creator God is our personal true God. And it will be kept in the new earth to come. It's so beautiful what we can learn from the Bible and how plain it can be on this subject of the Sabbath. Now, I want you not to forget, the Bible says God is what? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And the law of God is summarized in one word. And what is that word again? Romans 13, verse 10, therefore the fulfillment of the law is love. And when we look to the Sabbath, it teaches us the same thing. You see, it's a special anniversary day with God. It's a day that he calls us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Why do we keep the Sabbath according to Exodus 20? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. Why do we keep the Sabbath? It's a memorial. It's a reminder that God is the who. He is the creator. You know, Jeremiah teaches an interesting principle, and I'm going to summarize it in the words of a friend of mine. The potter does not need the opinions of the clay. Amen? The potter doesn't need to be told by the clay how to make it. Amen. We are not the creator. He is the creator. But too often as humans, we elevate ourselves as though we were the creator. I'm in charge. I can do this. I can do anything. And God says, stop working and rest in me. Remember, on this day, there is only one creator in this universe, and that is me. I created you because I love you. I created you because the Bible says it was for my pleasure. Why? He goes on to say, because it's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. You were created so God can take pleasure in blessing and giving the universe that he can to you. But there's a second reason why the Bible says we keep the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses repeats the commandments. And he repeats the fourth commandment and he says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, that your male servant and female servant may rest as well as you. Sounds similar so far, doesn't it? Keep the Sabbath, rest from the Sabbath, don't do any work. But now the why is changed. The why is different. You see, the first time he said, because I am the creator. But the second time he says, and remember that you were a what? Slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You see, it wasn't just a reminder that God is the creator, but it is a reminder that he is also the redeemer. He is the one who saved us from the land of Egypt, which is symbolic of this sinful world. And there's a Pharaoh, and his name is Satan. And he says, I will not let your people go, but Jesus has come tonight to say, I will set you free if you'll let me. And when I deliver you, when I set you free and you drop those shackles and you rest in my love and in my presence and in my righteousness, on the Sabbath when you rest, remember, you can only enjoy that rest. You can only enjoy that peace of mind. You can only cease from your works and trust in mine because I loved you enough to set you free. You see, the Sabbath is beautiful because on the Sabbath day, we should remember that God is both creator and redeemer. The creation and the redemption story meet every week on the Sabbath day. And God asks, will you meet him there? Will you come and join him there? At this time, my friends are going to give you another card. And it will help me again to know if tonight's presentation was abundantly clear. Because I know it's a newer presentation. Not many people here have maybe heard this presentation. It may be brand new to many people in the auditorium this evening, but that's okay. I learn new stuff from the Word of God every day, amen? Nothing wrong with learning new things from the Word of God, especially when it reveals how much God loves us, that God wants to spend a special day with us. As you receive this card, I want you don't check it yet. I want you just to read it and to pray about it as you hear the words of this song.
God took 6 days and created earth and moon and stars and sun. On the seventh day he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy, as a gift for every man, to remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine in this temple made of time. See him worship on the Sabbath as his weekly custom was. Feel the fury of the for he would not heed their laws. as the sun began to fade, but he even kept the Sabbath as they laid him in the grave. Forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profaned, but the sacred fourth commandment is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, not for merit or salvation, but because you love my son. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine in this temple made.
The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, the conclusion of the three angels' message, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The first angel of Revelation chapter 14, of the last three messages that go to prepare the world to see Jesus, God's calling us back to a special day to remember. Why remember? Because it's a day that has been long forgotten. And why has Satan focused so hard at getting the Christian world to forget about this day? Well, it lifts up Jesus as creator. It lifts him up as the redeemer. It teaches us that he is our God and we can truly cease from our own works. Oh, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest into your souls. Will you come tonight and experience the rest in Jesus that he desires? The angels' messages of Revelation are calling us to keep the commandments, not just 9 out of 10, as much of the Christian world does, but 10 out of 10. To come back to the origins of Scripture, back to the Word of God and the Word of God alone, and have none of the traditions of man. Back to the Garden of Eden, which is where God is trying to get us back to, isn't he? If you read the first two chapters of the Bible in Genesis, you have the Garden of Eden, the perfect people in a perfect world with a perfect God. The last two chapters of the Bible, you have Eden restored, a perfect people in a perfect world with their perfect God. And this is what God is doing. He's bringing us back to the Garden of Eden, back to the experience there. And as we think on the Sabbath, remember, it is a sign that he is both the one who loved you enough to not just make you, but he's also the one who loved you enough to die for you. And tonight, the Bible calls us to make a decision. Number one, on your decision cards, I choose to take the Bible as my only guide of truth. Now, that's a heavy statement. To take the Bible as the only rule of faith and guide for doctrine and for truth in how we live our lives. You see, there are many out there who live by the words of God and also live by the words of man. But I don't want to live that way anymore. You see, I want to live by the words of, as Matthew 4 verse 4 says, every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. If that's your commitment, check number one. Number two, because I love Jesus, I want to be obedient to him and keep his 10 commandments. Last night we talked about the law of God and how perfect love leads to true obedience. And if that's your desire, I want you to check number two, that out of love for Jesus, and again, if you haven't had an experience with Jesus at the cross, you can check it by faith, amen? But you need to fall in love with Jesus first, amen? If you're not beholding Jesus on the cross, if you do not see the Lamb of God dying for your sins, for you personally, and have an experience with him, we cannot keep that law. It's not possible. Only Jesus alone living through us can transform us and change us and renew us to be the people that he wants us to be in these last days. But if that's your desire, check number two. And number three, it is clear to me that the seventh day Saturday is God's Sabbath day, and I am willing to follow God in keeping the Sabbath day holy. I close on this and call you to make a decision, brothers and sisters, because it's part of the first angel's message. As a minister of the everlasting gospel, I have to. Will you choose to keep God's Sabbath day holy? He's calling us at the end of time to come back to honoring the Sabbath day, to keeping it holy, because it's a day that's long forgotten by most of the world. And if you want to choose to follow that day, you may not know exactly how it's going to work out. You may not know exactly what it looks like, but you're saying, by faith, I want to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then I want you to check number three tonight. And go ahead and fill out your information, because I want to pray for your decisions. Amen? I love praying for you, by the way. I love having lists of names that I can pray for and lift you up. So if that's your decision, please check the third box. How many of us want to follow Jesus tonight? Amen? Oh, the Bible says that we need to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. And Jesus comes with outstretched arms and says, I want you to follow me. Follow me. Take my hand, my nail-pierced hand, and I want to walk you all the way until you walk through those pearly gates into the heavenly city. And one day, we will see Jesus. If we are faithful unto the end, the Bible says, we will see him face to face. Amen? Our Father in heaven, you've seen the decisions that have been made. You see the cars that have been checked. You see the hearts of those who are in here tonight. And I'm sure there's many who are hearing this for the first time. And Lord, I just pray earnestly that as we study the Word of God, I do not want them to live by the words of Anthony Baca. Lord forbid, Lord forbid. But help us to study the Bible and to trust no man but the man Jesus Christ himself. And to trust and to live by what the scriptures plainly teach, that we may be safe in the last days from the deceptions of Satan, that we may not fall for his trickery, Lord, but that we may be so grounded in scripture that our lives are a mere reflection of what is written in the Word of God. Oh, bless us and help us, and forgive us, Lord, for the times we've diverted our mind, when we've been so consumed with soap operas and TV and video games that we have not spent time in the Word of God. Help us to behold Jesus. Help us to fall in love with you and to be changed by that love from glory to glory until we reflect the image of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said, amen and amen.